E2. Number 10B.
So this is quite enough, really, to have the pure idea absolutely separate at this point of spirit or soul, absolutely separate from any counterfeit. So that the pure idea is now left there. And that enables thought to go on to the third day of creation, which the Bible shows in five subtones, only five subtones. And we can ask ourselves, what is the minimal insight we have to gain in order that soul really is defined such that it lends itself to be demonstrated in principle? So soul will show us that it is that which identifies now our pure idea, which we have gained in spirit, which identifies now this idea with its life principle. Without the third day, that idea would lay bare. It would not do anything. But when we see that this idea is an idea of principle, we identify that idea with its principle. And this is what the third day of creation does, that it shows that the idea which is absolutely clear-cut as the earth, when it is identified with its principle, that it begins to live and to bring forth. The third day is that where soul always, because it's soul, always reproduces its own ideas. And that is shown in the third day of creation, that let the grass and the herbs and so on that has the seed within itself bring it forth again. The reproduction of its own identity. How much do we need to see that each identity is always bringing forth its own identity, so that it is self-sustaining and self-maintaining and self-reproducing? And you can see here at once, it must at least go up to the point of life, because life brings forth its reproduction. Life reproduces. And so the third day brings the thought of that idea up first through its identity with principle, soul as principle, to the point of reproduction, soul as life. So that you have a sense, once we touch an idea, mind, and that idea is kept completely separate from any counterfeit, spirit, that then this idea begins to reproduce and maintain and self-sustain itself. So, how could an identity remain an identity if that identity would not have within itself the seed of reproducing itself? And that's the tone of life. So the Bible would go, Mrs. Eddy in her explanation, would go right through those five subtones to the point of life, where the idea is constantly reproducing itself. When the idea is constantly reproducing itself, you begin to see that that enables us to see it as a self-operative principle. And you make the step from the third day to the fourth day of principle, that it says that that reproducing principle within the soul sense is actually the divine principle that is governing the whole universe. It's not just the principle of the identity that reproduces, it's the infinite universal principle, and therefore the illustration in the fourth day is all about the principle of the universe, the government of the universe, the lights, the stars, the sun and the moon and its reflection, the earth, and showing the government and the harmony of that governing principle. And in order to show that governing principle, actually, you could go through all the seven as the seven, as an, when you take government as a numeral of infinity. But if you only want to see that it is the governing principle of life, that is not a dead principle, but that we only get then the satisfaction, and only then is it something living, when at least we can see it as a principle of life, the principle of being, the science of being. Then when we see that, then thought is already ready to accept that being. That to accept that, because principle as life is constantly bringing forth through the government of principle the newness of life, that therefore we can see the infinite multiplication that exists in life. And that's the fifth day. The fifth day of creation is full of let the waters bring forth a sense of great multiplication and fullness is there symbolized. Which is life. And so principle as life gives us the clue, so to say, to step over the borderline from principle to life, and you start in right with life as, so to say, the living life. But still in the days of creation, it's still in the days of creation where we begin to see that by touching the idea, keeping that idea pure in spirit, seeing that that idea is self-reproducing because it has identity, and by having identity, the principle of being takes it and lifts that idea constantly by applying that principle to the situation. And when one begins to see that, one sees that therefore this principle is not just once bringing forth something new, but always, and you have a sense of infinite multiplication of life. But how much of life do we have to see in order that we can see the sixth day of man? And in order to see that, it only really needs those four of life as mind, life as spirit, life as soul, life as principle, in order to say, look here, the form of man is something different than life. But the form of man can only be established through the life-giving principle. And so all what you have to see is that the fifth day is a life-giving principle, and not more than that. And if that you see that life-giving principle, then you have as its outcome the sixth day. So it only goes from life through mind, spirit, soul, principle. Actually, you can also take it as life as the Word, life as the Christ, life as Christianity, and life as science, in order to show the science of life. We do not need to show how this life is the living being of everything. It's just enough to see that what comes afterwards, man, is the outcome of a life principle ever at work. And so the days of creation go then to truth, to the sixth day, and in the sixth day for the first time show all the seven subtones. Because of what? Because they must show that man is God's own consciousness of itself. Let us make man in the image and likeness of God. For the first time you have the likeness of God. Up to that point you never had the likeness of a synonymous term. The moment you have the likeness of God, you must actually have all the seven. Or you don't have the likeness. You would only have a part of it. So the sixth day of creation gives the whole range of the likeness of God, namely mine, truth as mind, truth as spirit, truth as soul, truth as principle, truth as life, truth as truth, truth as law, and shows the creation of man as God's image and likeness, as actually God's consciousness of himself. Therefore, you have there the seven. There you can't cut it down, or we don't have a likeness. And can you see that up to this point, the Bible would never show that any one of those creative acts were the likeness, the full likeness of God. Only now you get that. So the sixth day must take in all the seven subtones in order to show man, which is the compound idea. In order to have it compound, you actually must take in all the seven. Once we have seen that whole creation, or creation is its wholeness, then we can go over the borderline from the sixth to the seventh day and say, oh well, that wholeness is actually so whole that nothing can be added to it anymore, and it gives a sense of rest and peace and fulfillment, the seventh day. And the seventh day, actually in the Bible, only gives love and truth, and love as love, in order to show what? To show that the whole sixth day of truth is at the point of perfection. Love and truth is at the point of perfection, and in love as love, showing that that brings fulfillment and peace. Love as love. There is an interesting point to see that there. Namely, you could say, well, how can we have love as truth without having the foundation of the preceding five subtones? How can we have a sense of love and truth right to start with? And the answer is that in many layouts which we find in the Bible, and especially in the textbook, when the layout is in the days of creation, and you have that here and there in the textbook and in the Bible, that it is laid out in the days of creation matrix, and not in the 7x7, not in the numerals of infinity matrix, that very often you have in the last column all the seven spelled out, and not just the last two. Very often. And this is actually no contradiction. What the days of creation give is just a shorthand abbreviation of it, and say, I can take the whole sixth day of creation and just transfer that to the seventh day, and then it is the sense of truth. So with love and truth, that truth really means all the seven, and not just one numeral. And therefore you have love and truth and love and love, and you arrive at the point of rest. So can you see what the days of creation want to achieve? It is actually the most exquisite law of innovation, or the law of creativity, which has a beginning and which has an end. The numerals of infinity, they don't have a beginning and they don't have an end. They are the 7x7. Therefore, every time we have to do with a creative act in the human, I mean not a physical creative act, but a mental, intellectual, spiritual creative act in the human, where out of ignorance, or in a state of ignorance, the first light breaks in, the first faint light breaks in, mind as mind, that we would have a law which would lead thought step by step in this very way of the days of creation right to the point of love as love, of fulfillment. So it is a linear law that is given. It's not a structural law. It's not the law of infinity. It's not the numerals of infinity. It is that terrific big law of creativity. It's that law which, for the last 5 or 10 years, in the whole world, in every country, in every branch of sciences, They are trying to find out what are, so to say, the mental steps that are necessary in order to develop the first breaking in of an idea, so that it is not hampered, but that it can grow naturally until it has grown to the point where it has fulfilled its purpose. Fulfilled love, its purpose, love. Love as love. Where it comes right down to that point. So, what the Bible has shown here about 2,500 years ago, and what John Dolittle tried to explain, and I wasn't quite sure if he was aware of what he was doing, because at this time the creativity investigation was practically at the point of nil in the world. Only after he had given years and years and years of thought to the law of creativity through the days of creation, all over the world, people began to investigate the question, how can we be creative? There must be a law of creativity. We must find an order how to go about something so as to find out something new, so as to be creative, so as to be innovative, so as to bring forth something new. Up to that point, every scientist in the world, in the field of other scientists, felt that creativity is something that only belongs to a few people, and that it is, in most cases, a gift that falls into their lap, that by some chance and accident they begin to see something new, whereas suddenly people begin to think, well, if that happens to one person or to a few persons, then there must be a law behind it. Therefore, let's investigate the law of creativity. And this only began about 10 or 15 years ago, really. And now the whole world is full, the whole literature is full of the law of creativity. And if we would have a lot of time, we could show you that most of these investigations show that they follow the same pattern of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Only spelling it out in a different way, applied to their different field in a different kind of way. And my whole war cry that you always hear since about 3 or 4 years is, I would give any amount of money to somebody who would take the time and present this law of creativity as given in the days of creation and shown through the 7 synonymous term in their reflection, and to show that that is the law of creativity and that that conforms to what the world also tries to find out but doesn't quite know how to spell it out, and that it is a law in being and not the law of the human mind. Here is something that has such a terrific impact of Mr. Dolittle's vision that is so much bigger than he himself, I guess, realized, and that we may realize. This is the one of the biggest contributions that John Dolittle made for the field of sciences, not just for the field of Christian Science. We are so far behind what's going on in the world. They are thinking, and they begin to feel it out, and when they will feel it out properly, they will make a go of it. And then the Christian Science just can try and hurry behind it and see if they can catch up. Here is that law of creativity. What good is there in the Bible, in the days of creation, in the first record of creation, if it doesn't apply to creative thinking of today? Then the Bible would be no good. But if that is an actual spiritual law, given in the symbolism of that day, and if that can be translated into our age and spelled out to the world, we really would make a hit. That's my conviction. You can see something else in this days of creation matrix. Namely this, that we have seen that every square matrix has a diagonal, and that the diagonal is important, and that the diagonal should give us some teaching. And if we draw the diagonal like this, you see something that answers a big question. It answers the question why the days of creation are not numerals of infinity. Because the only box that has no value on that diagonal is actually life as life. It's the only box, and life as life would really say that the days of creation become newness of life and isness. And it doesn't. Because the moment we would have there a value in it, it would show now we have arrived at isness, where isness is its own isness. There is no more a creative process. Can you see that? Can you see how a matrix has intelligence? It gives us information. It teaches us big things. Yes. And on that diagonal, naturally you have terrific points, you see, that you really have in mind as mind, the breaking in of light in spirit and spirit, the actual separation that goes on in soul and soul. It was the very first time in the days of creation where the idea became productive, where it says, what is the text there? Let me quickly read it so that I don't say something wrong. You know that I never can quote. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. For the first time, you see, the Bible says that the idea has within itself the ability of reproduction. Up to that point, it was always God that had to produce. And now the idea becomes productive. So here, right at the point of soul and soul, you get that. Principle as principle governing the whole universe and the earth. And principle as principle. Life as life, no value, because they are not numerals of infinity. Truth as truth, you get the dominion of man. Love as love, you get the fulfillment of what? Of the initial purpose. Of goal causality. These are the days of creation. Can you see how beautiful these things are?